Now, back to Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Dr. Hank.
Again, if you're just joining us, let me say again, Happy New Year. This is an exciting time, an exciting year we're going to have coming up. A lot of people say that 13 is an unlucky number. I'm going to take the opposite approach because I'm very high on optimism. I'm saying that 13 is a lucky number. Because if you take the number 13 and you add those two numbers together, it becomes 4. And a lot of people see that 4 is a lucky number. So however you want to take that 13 and make it lucky, let's make 2013 an exciting and a good year for all of us. Well, I promise you that we have a guest today, and I'm not going to let him sweat any longer. He's probably sweating bullets now because he's just excited about being on the show, and he wants to share some information with us. Our guest is Bob Jarrus, Dr. Bob Jarrus, I'm going to say, because he is a PhD. He's done a lot of work in a lot of different areas, but he's also an SPHR. And for those of you that are in human resources, you know that SPHR is a senior professional in human resources management. So, therefore, he has a lot of information, a lot of knowledge around human resources and dealing with people. One of the things is, let me give you a little background on Bob. Bob is a consultant, counselor, speaker, and author. I know I have at least two of his books that he's written, and he's going to share perhaps a little information about those. He holds a graduate degree in business, counseling psychology, human resources, and adult development. Bob spent over 25 years as a professor, consultant, and psychologist before devoting himself to full-time emotional intelligence, communication, and relationships. He's the founder of Success Dynamics International. In that capacity, he has developed the EIQ2, which is a learning system of emotional intelligence. Now, this system includes the empathy principle, EIQ2, emotional intelligence assessment, the EIQ2L on emotional leadership, the EIQ2I on influence and sales, big T little M EIQ 10 emotional intelligence team, ESO for emotional smart organization, and the EIQ2CRM for customer relations and service. Now, that sounds like it covers a lot of different areas, but I'm going to let Bob tell you a little bit more about this. But first, let me say, Bob, welcome. Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Hank. It's my honor.
I appreciate it. You know, I've had the opportunity to listen to Bob or hear Bob in some other presentations that he's done. And actually, he was a speaker at the very first conference that the Society of Emotional Intelligence had and did a great job there. So we thought it would be great to have Bob share, you know, the information that he has with us, well, to a larger audience. Granted, the audience that we had at the conference was somewhat small compared to, obviously, the radio wave. So hopefully Bob will get a chance to share the information with a much broader audience. Speaking of audience, though, let me say this. This is an open forum type show, so we encourage people to call in and maybe share their thoughts or ask questions, because Bob is going to be sharing his thoughts and ideas about the work that he's doing. So for those of you that are interested in what Bob is doing and want to get more information, or you hear him mention something or say something that you'd like to get more information, don't wait until the end of the show. Give us a call. Ask Bob, says, Bob, can you clarify that, or can you share just a little bit more information with me on something? Because that's how we have dialogue. We don't want to wait until the end of the show and say, geez, I should have done this or I should have done that. Let's do it now. So, Bob, right off the top, you know, one of the things that I was looking at and thinking about when I saw the topic today was EIQ2, learning systems of emotional intelligence. How do you see emotional intelligence presenting a competitive advantage for leadership and marketing?
Well, one of the things that a lot of people lose track of is that our emotions are contagious. And typically people start by thinking of emotional intelligence as an instrument that's going to work for your individual improvement. But very often they lose track of the fact that when they improve, it improves the group, it improves the organization, it improves your influence structure, and improves your leadership. So we've spent a lot of time looking at different things that will effectively make you make your groups, your teams more emotionally effective.
Now, when I hear making groups or team more emotionally effective, often when people think of emotional intelligence, they're thinking of it, and I'm going to use it from an organizational standpoint. There's the individual, there's the team, and then there's the organization. So they see emotional intelligence most of the time as it's just dealing with one individual. So how do you see it fitting into the context of teams and organizations?
Well, I always like to look at sports teams. I don't know if we have any other sports fans, but periodically you can see a team that just doesn't believe in themselves or believe in each other. You see teams that don't like each other. And you see a lot of teams that should be doing a lot better just by pure talent that they have. And then you just look at the team and you go, they're a group of underachievers. And typically I find that the reason that they're underachievers is they haven't tapped into emotional intelligence, and we have a group of individuals instead of a team.
Okay, so let's just stay with that for a minute, and I'm not going to call any teams' names or anything like that. But, we do see teams out there, you know, professional sports teams, and I would like to think that these individuals that are on these teams, they've been engaged in or involved in team kinds of activities for a long time. And I'm talking about professional teams now, not just, you know, the Pop Warner teams or, you know, the high school teams. So it seems that if they've been involved in teams, official teams for that period of time, then by the time they get to the professional level, it should come easy. So are we saying that even though they have that kind of experience behind them, that their emotional intelligence still might be something that gets in the way?
Oh, I'm sure it is. If you look at our whole workforce right now, we can talk about people who are underutilized. We can talk about employees who are unengaged in their workforce. The statistics of people who just show up at work and are merely going through the motions is staggering. And typically we see that in sports teams. We even see that in ourselves of I'm here until I find the bigger, better deal.
Wow. So let me just step back for a minute, because as I was looking at the work that you've done around the EIQ2 learning systems of emotional intelligence, I see that it may, you know, apply to a lot of different areas. Can you give me maybe a little background on what led you to that and how these things may work towards helping someone develop emotional intelligence?
We had found out back, earlier about 2000-ish, we had looked at some research that Mayer and Salovny had done. And what was interesting to me is they had indicated that there was going to be a need for second stage emotional intelligence, but they didn't seem to explore it very much. And we kind of looked at leadership, and we determined that leadership is going to have things like attitude and confidence and do you like being part of a team? Do you want to work with the group? Do you have a vision? We found out that those things were going to be part of whether a team was going to be effective. We looked at teams particularly, and we found things like, do they collaborate? Do you want to be a member of the team? I mean, you can look at any of the sports players these days, and it's amazing how many of them are vocally saying, well, I'd rather be with another team, but I'm here. And talk about emotional disengagement, that's got to be it. Well, when you're publicly announcing, well, I'm here, but I'd rather be somewhere else.
That's true. That's true. And I think probably in sports is about the only place that you can actually vocally make those kinds of statements and still stay there. Because I think in corporate America, if the boss heard you say, well, I'm here, but I'd rather be somewhere else, they will probably help you to get somewhere else, or at least help you to get out the door.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, but I think in a heart of hearts, a lot of employees believe that, even though they might not vocalize it, Hank.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because, you know, we know that often when people start to disengage from their workplace, one of the things that you find them, they'll be on their computers spending time on monster.com or some of those other things. So their productivity starts to go down, because now they're not spending time, quote, at work. They're spending time looking for other opportunities. So if I'm a manager or boss and I kind of have a sense that that might be going on, is that an opportunity for me to use my emotional intelligence? In other words, how can emotional intelligence help me with a situation like that? Any thoughts?
Well, I think it goes both ways of if the employee wants to recommit and if you've got a good leader in place. Because what becomes interesting to me is you start looking at the individual, and we've got so many people who've retired on the job, but they might be able to be re-engaged if you start doing the right things to re-engage them.
Okay.
They feel that their opinions don't matter. They feel isolated. They feel undervalued. They feel underused. And, boy, those are sounding like a whole lot of feeling words to me.
That's true. They are feeling words. They are feeling words. And for people who often say, you know, leave your emotions in the car, or leave your emotions on the other side of the sidewalk, don't bring them into the workplace, that's just not the case. I don't think that we can divorce ourselves from our emotions that easily, or put them in a bag or something and then don't take them out until, you know, 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever time it is that the person gets off work. So what I'm thinking, you know, along those lines, when we're looking at these different systems that you've put together, are they systems that individuals can use, or are they things that are strictly that an organization would have to say, okay, we want to put our team through this, or we want to take a group of our people through this?
We focus both ways. The first four instruments we use, empathy, emotional intelligence, leadership, and influence, we kind of focus more on individuals than on the group, of what qualities do you bring to the table and what can you deal with and how can you relate to other people.
Okay.
And the last three instruments we work with, the Team 10, emotionally smart organizations, and the last one of customer service, we wind up looking at how can you then engage the group, the team, the organization. I don't know if you remember the old statement, but it kind of directed me a long time ago. But you used to hear the old adage, together we know more than we do individually.
Yes.
That would make the United States government the smartest organization on the planet.
Gotcha. Okay. I see your point. Well, Bob, they were waving their hand at me and saying that it's time to take a break. So we're going to take a break, but can you be with us just a little bit longer? Let's say right after the break, we're going to come back, and maybe there's a couple of other things that you can share with us about the work that you guys are doing. And, well, maybe we'll even have some folks that might want to call in and maybe share their thoughts. Can you be with us a little bit longer?
Sounds good, Hank.
Okay. This is Hank, or Dr. Hank, as we talk about it on Let's Talk EI, and we'll be back right after this.
It's time for more of Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's Dr. Hank.
Well, good afternoon or good morning, whatever time it is in your time zone. I know here on the East Coast, and we're located in Tampa, Florida, it's like half past the lunch hour. I know many of you are at lunch, enjoying lunch, and maybe this is a good time for a brown bag discussion. And those of you on the West Coast, you know, it's probably you're just had your second or third cup of coffee and you're just getting warmed up for work. But whatever time zone that you're in, I'm glad that you're with us. Look forward to you being here. We have with us today Dr. Bob Jarrus, and Bob has been sharing with us the work that they're doing around the EIQ2 learning system of emotional intelligence. And just before the break, we were talking about how the system is applied either on the individual level or it might be applied on the team or organizational level. I would be remiss if I didn't give Bob an opportunity to just kind of share with us if there was someone who wanted to know more about the instrument, about how to reach him and stuff. How would they get in touch with you, Bob? Because, I mean, I could say your phone number, I could say your email address and all that, and website and all that, but often people like to hear it coming from the organization itself. So, Bob, how do we get that the information out?
Well, we're at www.eiq2.com. We can be reached by phone at 863-420-1929.
Fantastic. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate you sharing that. And of course, before the show ends, I'm going to ask you to repeat that information again. Sure. So, stay with me on that. One of the things that I was looking at, as we were talking and just kind of thinking about things, what kinds of tangible gains can an integrated emotional intelligence system generate for an organization? In other words, you know, if an organization, let's say, you use a system such as yours, what can they expect to gain? Because most of the time they're looking for that big ROI.
Excuse me. Well, I think you're looking at a combination of gains that you get. First of all, you're gaining the individual performance, but then you're also gaining the group performance. And as okay. with any other emotional intelligence, the statistics sound almost embarrassing to say it with emotional intelligence with any system. Your gains are about 20 to 60% in the field from what I've seen on productivity. I don't know how you quantify the having a happier, more focused work team. I don't know how you quantify that other than the productivity goals, but what you get is just simply amazing out there.
Wow. Wow. So if someone was looking to do this, how long would they have to, you know, do this before they could see some sort of measurable results? At the top of the show, I just kind of mentioned, you know, and this was some of the work that I've done. I said, you know, it's like at least 90 days before you see any measurable results. But that was coming from me and my experience. So on your end, you and your experience, what do you see in terms of time-wise before someone can actually see something different?
Well, I've learned never to disagree with Dr. Hank. but your emotions are an individual thing. So okay. I would adjust it a little bit and say, I'd typically say you're looking at 90 days. Sounds like a good number to me. But with individuals, you might see something a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. A lot of things of telling you with basic emotional intelligence, telling you how to manage stress, how to manage conflict. Typically, if you've got the right situation, you may see gains immediately from emotional intelligence development.
Wow. Well, that would be good. That would be good to see immediate gains because, you know, that's what organizations, particularly the Western culture, looks for almost, you know, is immediate gains. And so that's why I'm saying most of the time that you don't see immediate gains or it's difficult to see immediate gains. And I think of it this way, and of course, this is so that we can argue this point. That if I want to see immediate gains, you know, if I threaten someone, you know, they're pretty much going to do what I ask them to do, you know, right then. So I'm going to see an immediate difference in their behavior. But if it's left up to them to practice that skill, then it's going to, being human, it's not going to happen right away.
I agree with you, Hank, unless you happen to be fortunate enough to have the right situation where you could apply it right away.
Oh, very, very much so. And I appreciate that because that allows us to kind of give the back and forth on this, you know, this approach. And another thing that I had mentioned at the top of the show, we're open. We want people to share their thoughts and ideas. Sometimes we're going to agree. Sometimes we're going to disagree. Sometimes, you know, a model will fit one group or one individual. Sometimes that model fits someone else or a different individual. So that brings me to another thought that I have. There are a number of EI tools out there on the market. How do you see, let's say, your tool maybe being a little different or providing, you know, support or providing a means to get to emotional intelligence change that might be different from someone else's?
We focus on being a learning system.
Okay.
And to me, the one thing that really excites me with anything in emotional intelligence is it's a skill that can be learned, as opposed to IQ, which is pretty much like your shoe size. What we like to do is we like to begin by assessment of seeing where somebody is so that you can create a gauge of where do you want to go and what do you want to do. Then we look to do some training against where you are and where you want to go.
Okay.
So our model is assess, train, perform, and then what we do with performing is we do coaching and we do facilitation to try and get real-world application out of it. And the last thing we do is we partner for excelling of, at that point, we're moving down as a trainer and more as a partner with companies of what are you experiencing and how can we make things better for you. And as I said, we look at being a learning system instead of being an assessment system because we begin with assessment. That's not the end. That's the start of our relationship with organizations.
That's fantastic. Yeah, you know, I'm listening to this and I'm saying, you know, as a learning system, you know, it's not only just assessing because you've assessed and now it's like, what do you do about it? It's like the, so what, you know, I assess, I know, now what? So with the learning system, it takes it past just assessing. And it starts to say, okay, now that we know this, here's how those things can be addressed. Now, am I close to what we're talking about with the learning system?
That's pretty well how we think. We're facilitators in improvement. And why I got so excited about emotional intelligence when I first came upon the concept was the fact that it is changeable. And a whole lot of other assessments are just, hey, this is how you are, and have a nice day. But with emotional intelligence, we're able to go the other way around and say, this is how you are. Would you like to improve it? Which is a lot better to me.
Yeah, and I certainly agree with that. And one of the things that I often share, talk about with some of the workshops that I do is the knowing versus doing that. We often can know where we are and we can cite chapter and verse and know a lot of things about emotional intelligence, but do we actually demonstrate those skills, abilities, and knowledge of emotional intelligence, or is just information that's sort of like being on a flash drive or chip or something like that. It's stored, and we can pull it up whenever we need to talk about it, but when we need to demonstrate it, well, we're somewhat short on that. So my approach is looking at the two areas, the knowing side and the doing side. I was once in a seminar, and the seminar leader used the term taking it from the page to the stage. And I thought that that was so appropriate for emotional intelligence, to be able to take it from what we've read about and all of the material that we come across or what we see on the YouTubes and other things, and then be able to apply it in our daily lives. So that's my thought around that. Before I let you go, Bob, is there any other information that you'd like to share with us, perhaps, you know, on the work that you're doing or some of the other kinds of things that you might be involved in?
No, lately we've been getting involved a little bit more with schools and education, because the results are, the earlier you can start working with people on emotional intelligence, to my way of thinking, the better. So that's where we've been lately.
Okay, so is the learning system that you have, is that applicable to, let's say, young adults or kids as well as adults, or is there some differences?
Well, it's the basic individual stuff is always applicable to the individuals and the young adults. The organizational things may be more applicable to the company, the organization that people are in.
Okay.
It's very difficult to teach emotional intelligence in an organization that's emotionally stupid.
Thank you, Bob. Hey, thanks for being with us today. I'd really like to say, you know, Happy New Year once again. I appreciate the time. Appreciate you taking the time being with us this morning. If you just share with us one more time how we might be able to get a hold of you or to get a hold of the stuff that you guys are doing.
Sure. We're at www.eiq-2.com, or we can be reached by phone at 863-420-1929.
Thanks, Bob. I really appreciate you being with us today. And as I said again, lunch is on me. Not sure when we'll do that, but I'd like to do it before the end of the month. So, you know, I'll be sending you an email to try and set a date. But again, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Sounds real good, Hank. Thank you.
Okay.